You helped found the United Farm Workers, and you've been a longtime labor activist and organizer. How are you putting all that experience to work today?
Well, I believe that we have to kind of bring our movements together. You know, sometimes we work in silos. We have our feminist movement over here working for women's reproductive rights. We have our immigrant rights movement, our LGBT movement, our global environmental movement. Somehow we have to kind of mesh all of these together, and that's what I try to do with the work that I do with the Dolores Huerta Foundation. And at the same time, getting people civically engaged to understand the importance of participation in the electoral process, you know, getting people to register to vote, getting people to vote. So it's just a matter of literally making people understand that they do have power, but that they've got to participate, and that nothing changes unless we move forward and we work together in an organized way to improve things. Otherwise, the status quo remains and nothing ever changes.
This is a very important political year, and there are efforts across the country to register more people and get them to the polls. I've done stories for 15 years about the emerging Hispanic vote. That doesn't seem to emerge. Why do you think there is a reluctance maybe in the Latino community for people who could register and vote not to do so?
Well, you have a different picture in Texas. In California, actually, we do vote. Now, the reason that people in California vote is because they have been organized to vote. And I believe that the reason that the Latinos in Texas do not vote is because they have not yet been organized or educated on the importance of voting. And you had a lot of oppression in Texas. Way back in the 40s and the 50s, you had a poll tax. People were told, and I say this because doing work in Texas and stories that were told to us, that people were told that if they were on welfare, that they would have their welfare taken away from them. There was some type of a repercussion if people tried to vote. And so this fear that people had of voting has been so instilled in the people of Texas, I believe, that I think that's why a lot of them don't vote. Then there's another reason. And the other reason is that I like to say that Latinos have to be invited to vote. And sometimes when they have been registered to vote and they get these long ballots with names on them of people that they don't recognize or propositions that are being voted on, and they don't want to make a mistake. And so instead of making a mistake, they think they have to fill out the whole ballot, then they just don't vote. But we know that in places like the Rio Grande Valley in South Texas, where a lot of the work that was done here by the United Farm Workers and other organizations, that people would register and they would vote. But it's got to be more than just outreach. It's got to be, I believe, intensive voter education to remind people that they have power and that the way that we can use our power in a positive way is by voting.
Do you sense that there are more people in the Latino community registering this year? I hear about efforts. Do you think they'll be effective?
Well, I hope so. I know that's definitely happening in California because of all of this anti-immigrant and anti-Mexican rhetoric that's happening right now. We do see a big surge not only in the people registering to vote, but also in people becoming citizens. I think there's been something like an 11% increase in people becoming citizens. And by the way, if people want to vote in the November election and they're not yet citizens, they can actually make their applications in the early part of May, and they could probably complete the process by November. So that's exciting.
You're a mother of 11 children.
Yes.
You're also Catholic. Explain how you became what you called a born-again feminist.
Well, we realized that we as women need to take our place in the world. You know, we're the richest country, most powerful country in the world when it comes to women in Congress, and we're only 19% of the U.S. Congress. And when we, we think of people and women in government at the presidential level, we're number 70 in the world. And so that means that we as women have a long way to go. And if women cannot control their reproductive health, then really we can't control our lives. So it's very important that the two mesh together. You know, women need to have protections for the reproductive experience, reproductive health, and because then that frees us up to do the work that we need to do, especially when we talk about electoral politics, women being engaged in civic life, you know, being able to run for office. I love to say that when you see that picture and you see a lot of men there at the table, you say, there's something wrong with that picture. they're going to make a wrong decision because women are not at the table. So, you know, the world needs women's intuition. They need our leadership. They need our wisdom. And they need our spirit.
Dolores Huerta, thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. Thank you very much.